Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to American Conservative Radio. My name is Tracy Coyle.
And I'm Bill Hinman.
Good evening and welcome to our show. It's another wonderful Tuesday here in the deep freeze called Wisconsin, where the bright temperature is 6 degrees, but it was sunny today. It was bright sunny today.
40 degrees on my front porch right now.
Such invigorating weather. Big show tonight. We got a lot of things on the docket. We're going to start off with the economy and what the market is doing. And then we're going to go on and talk to about some of the confirmation hearings, especially the Secretary of State and Hillary Clinton.
Tracy?
Yeah?
There was, like, some other stuff happening today?
Yeah, it's Tuesday. Yesterday was Monday. Martin Luther King. Kids went back to school today. CJ had 5 days off. Two days last week, the weather was so cold, they canceled school. So she's back at school.
Okay.
So after the confirmation hearings, we'll talk about Hamas and Gaza and what's going on with Israel. And then there were some reports on foreclosures and bankruptcies.
Tracy? There was like a really big deal happening in D.C. today. A lot of people showed up.
You mean yesterday, Martin Luther King Day?
Well, yeah, that, but today was like kind of a big deal.
Well, you mean that swearing-in ceremony thing?
Well, yeah, the one where there wasn't a teleprompter, so things got screwed up.
Oh, come on. What's the big deal? What is the big deal? So, we've got a new president. Thank you very much. We do this on a pretty regular basis, you know.
Well, that's true. Every 4 years, that kind of happens.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? I mean, there's, you know, he's number 44, right?
Number 44th. Well, actually, 43rd, really, because somebody got in there twice, but oh well.
Oh well, you know, what's the big deal? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, in this country, the transfer of power happens, despite I might add, the fact that so many people were absolutely convinced that that terrible duo of Bush and Cheney were going to do something to make them stay in as president and vice president, whichever way they happen to be.
Exactly.
Weren't we hearing this all last year?
Oh, man.
They'll never give up power, you know, freely.
Yeah. Yep. The rumor was there was going to be this big attack and they were going to cancel elections, as I recall.
That's what I have to say about that.
Exactly.
You know, we've had 44 changes of government and not a single war.
When you look at the rest of the world, isn't that amazing?
Well, you know, we're not the rest of the world. Hello?
Yeah.
You know, I keep trying to say this to people when people say, what makes us so much better than the rest of the world? Duh! Are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly. Look at our transfer of power.
The United States society is no better than anybody else. BS! Look! Of course it's better than everybody else. Are you insane?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So, all right, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
You know, frankly, I listened to the speech. So I was kind
you did?
Of, you know,
did you really?
I did listen to the speech. Only because I turned on the radio. I was doing some work in the office today. I turned on the radio to listen to Rush, and no Rush. There was this guy talking, and, you know, there, all the wind was blowing, people cold, lots of people. Yep. Okay, so I listened. And this is what I have to say. Boring.
I have to tell you, I did not listen.
Why? If it was, look, it wasn't important to me, but apparently some people thought it was important.
Well,
I
suppose some people did think it was important. I based on what was said on the campaign trail, based on President Obama's record in the Illinois legislature and in the United States Senate, I didn't really think that he had a whole lot that he could tell me. So I said, no, I don't think that he is going to tell me anything other than what he really wants his base to hear. I'm not his base. I'm not a part of it. I don't agree with the policies that he's laid out in his speeches and on the campaign trail. So there really wasn't anything
but I wanted
to hear.
But he's our president. He's
well,
not just the president of the left. He's not just the president of the kooks. He's not just the president of MoveOn.org. Well, yes, he is the president of MoveOn.org.
Yes,
but
he is.
No.
I mean, what Marco said, what? We bought it. We paid for it. We own it.
Right.
I'm sorry. Anything that he bought and paid for, I don't want a whole lot to do. And my intent is to support President Obama in precisely and exactly the same way that the lefts, the libs, and the progressives supported President Bush for the last 8 years.
Well, I don't think they did that at all. I don't think that they thought that, you know, he wasn't their president, so they didn't have to support him at all.
Exactly.
Nah, see, I have, if Barack Obama does one thing, just one thing, that his predecessor specifically said was the foundation of every decision he made as president. If Barack Obama does that thing, I'll support Barack Obama all day long, every day.
And that thing was?
George Bush said that no matter what decision he was making, his first and primary goal was to do what was right for the country.
And I will agree with you on that. I don't have a lot of confidence that that's what's going to happen, but I will agree with you.
If Barack Obama does not put his party first, or his ideology first, or his legacy first, if he puts the country first, I will support those positions, even if I don't agree with them.
I will support him as president if he does that. I will oppose
every single word that comes out of that squawny little smoking mouth.
Yes.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I know. I guess the real thing that it comes down to is I don't trust him. I don't trust him to do.
As far as I could throw him pretty far. Not that far.
Yep.
I want to go back to the speech for a second. I know you weren't listening, so
nope.
You may have heard some about this. Other people may have paid attention to it, and that's fine. it seemed to me that he kept on reaching for these oratorical flourishes, and he'd hit this point where everybody should be cheering and clapping, and there was, like, dead silence.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he just kept right on, you know, be like, "And so we will do this! And then we're going to go do more!" And it was just like, he just kept on, it was like, I tweeted while I was listening, and I said, he keeps reaching and reaching and not getting there.
Hmm.
And did you see the Matrix movies?
I saw a couple of them.
The first one?
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves is on the top of a building, and he's going to repeat what Morpheus has just done, which is to run and jump from one building to the next building. And he takes off running, and he hits that ledge, and he jumps, and falls. That's what Barack Obama did today on his speech. He got all worked up. I can do this. I can do this. And he starts running, and he hits that mark and goes, "Oh, crap!" That's what I kept thinking about today. As I listened to that speech, I kept going, like, look, here, okay, Obama, don't try to be Kennedy-esque. Don't try to be Reagan-esque. Don't try to be Lincoln or FDR or anybody else. Just say what you think you want this country to do or to be. What's your vision for the next 4 years? Put it out there and say, this is what I want to do. This is where I think we can go. This is what we should all get together doing. And if you can do that in really concrete terms, that's a speech. That's an inauguration speech. And
mm-hmm.
what we got was, we have to put our childish things away and work together. And I'm like, yeah. Bush said that 8 years ago and 4 years ago, and you guys just said squat diddly nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, who cares?
Right.
That's, you know, and that's kind of how I looked at it, was that it was, what he really needed to do was fire his speechwriter. That's what he really needed to do.
Yep. Yep.
Mm. That's what he needed to do. So, the other thing is, okay, I like doing our show here on Tuesday nights.
Yep.
I was very nervous about it, especially in the first couple of times, and I really gotten into it, and I really enjoyed doing it. And I think that comes across in the show. It just seems to be a little bit better, but I'm not fooling anybody. I'm not going to be the next Rush Limbaugh.
No. Nor am I.
So... you know, Barack Obama really needs someone to stand in front of him and go, you know, what just came out of your mouth that you're going to say, don't. He really needs somebody that says no. He really needs somebody that says, that sucks. Because if everybody keeps telling him, oh, you're such a great speech giver, you just wonderfully speak to everybody, you know, and he believes that, and I think that's part of the problem, he actually does believe that, then he's
mm-hmm.
going to sit there and he's going to make Joe Biden look smart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you hear about Mrs. Joe Biden in yesterday?
Did I hear about that? Oh, my goodness.
If I were Hillary Clinton, I would be livid.
Well, you know what? This is my opinion about it.
Okay.
The President of the United States does lots of things that if we actually knew what he was doing, we wouldn't think would be very nice.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton was probably not the first president to sigh comfortably in the Oval Office in the last 200 years.
Okay.
But the thing is, you know, you be, and I'm not by any stretch of the imagination suggesting that it's okay, but you be discreet. Okay? You don't hang out the dirty laundry on purpose.
Right.
And, you know, I actually think that if John Kennedy was doing that kind of stuff, that I would have liked to have hung him out to dry, too.
Mm-hmm.
I would have found it very offensive to have found out about it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same token, you know, men are men. You guys are pigs.
Let me put a contrarian point of view there.
Okay.
There are some of us that take our vows of monogamy seriously.
I think that there are a few men in this country that behave appropriately. But there are a whole lot of boys in this country, even when they're 52 years old or 54 years old, that just don't understand about how to be a man.
I would agree with that, yes.
And I'm not talking about the men. I'm talking about the boys that are pretending.
Right.
In any case, okay, that'll get me in trouble with a few people. That's Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Barack Obama probably did what every other presidential candidate has done for two centuries by offering a cabinet position or a senior position to somebody to give them support going into a general election. I believe every single president has done that.
I suspect that's true.
I think they've probably done it in a quiet little room with two or three people present, and it was, you know, a handshake and a thank you, and we'll see you out on the dais.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But Joe Biden couldn't keep his mouth shut. If you sewed it, glued it, stapled it, duct taped it, and cemented the damn thing closed.
Nor can his wife.
Apparently. Now, I'm a believer that when it comes to spouses, there are no secrets.
Yep.
And I understand that there's always a secret. But for the most part, the reality of the situation is, if I'm telling one party in a spousal relationship, I know in the back of my head I'm telling both.
Yes.
That's an assumption on my part that, you know, if I'm telling you something, your wife's going to hear about it.
Yep.
Even if I tell you this is in strictest confidence, I don't want it to go one step farther, I'm absolutely 100% convinced you'll talk to your wife about it.
That's probably true.
And you know what? That's okay.
Yep.
Because I think that's a perfectly normal thing that goes on. So if Barack Obama and Joe Biden were in a room all together just by themselves, just the two of them, and Barack Obama made his offer and Joe Biden said fine, and of course they knew, both of them knew that they couldn't say a single word about that, and Joe Biden went to his wife and said, I've been offered the vice presidency or the Secretary of State position, my choice, and I thought about it, and I thought we'd be much happier if I was in Washington more, so I took the vice president job, and she went, yay, and then she couldn't shut up.
Mm-hmm. That's
now,
right.
Do I think that anybody in their right mind is going to actually prosecute Joe Biden or Barack Obama about this?
Nope.
No. Do I think there's going to be hearings about it? No. Do I think it makes one iota bit of difference in the world as far as politics, our government, the presidency, and the vice presidency is concerned? No.
Nope.
But if I were Barack Obama, I would keep Joe Biden out of every single secret, top secret conversation that goes on for the next 4 years. Because apparently his wife doesn't know how to shut up.
I think that's true.
And I don't think she has a security clearance.
I would be willing to bet she doesn't.
Idiots. Idiots to the left of me, idiots to the right of me, and that makes me an idiot. I swear. I support my president. I think Barack Obama has the potential to be a great president. I don't think he's going to be. He certainly has the potential. He's a breathing person that apparently has a certain amount of intelligence. So we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, think about it. If 9/11 had never occurred, George Bush would have been a really nice, frumpy, you know, dude that was president for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, realistically, his idea of something important was, you know, prescription drug benefit. Okay, great. You know, his position on stem cells, while I don't necessarily agree with it, you know, I got it. I understood it. He made his point, and I agreed with him on the premise that he established for himself in making that decision. I think it was fine. But 9/11 changed him and his presidency, period.
Mm-hmm.
And he became more, he became the president, a great president, because of that event.
Yes.
It, and I really don't want this type of situation, but an event like that either makes the president, or it breaks them. It broke Jimmy Carter.
Yes, it did.
It broke Jimmy Carter. You know, it made George Bush.
Yep.
Could it have made Bill Clinton? Maybe. Could it have made Al Gore? I don't think so. I think it would have broken him. But we might have a situation here in the next, you know, 4 years that actually makes Barack Obama the president. I hope it doesn't happen. But we'll see.
Well, yeah, we will see. I am not confident that his responses are going to be the appropriate responses.
I believe that 3.5 years from now, 3 years from now, he's going to say that the economy sapped every ounce of effort that he had hoped to put into changing us just to hang on by our fingernails, and that he needed another 4 years now that things were beginning to mend so that he could actually start addressing the things that he went into office to address. I think that's what's going to happen 3 years from now, is he'll look back and go, I've just spent the last 2.5 or 3 years busting my butt trying to keep this country from going to hell in a handbasket economically, and I couldn't do anything that I wanted to because I just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I need 4 more years to do what I wanted to do.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, because I think pretty much everything he's going to do over the next 2 years, as far as the economy is concerned, is absolutely going to make things worse.
Oh, absolutely. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that that's going to be true.
And so, you know, I have read a lot of things over the last 3 days. One, some really, really good things about George Bush. Things that made me, you know, consider and think about him. And I really, really honor and respect that man. He did an outstanding job. Were mistakes made? Absolutely. It's the nature of the beast. There's nobody in the world that could do everything right, given even almost perfect knowledge. You still can't do everything right. So
that's right.
You know,
exactly.
There was places where I disagreed with him. There are places where I think he did the wrong thing. There was places where I think he just got off on the wrong track. But at the same time, on a overall basis, you know, I give him a strong A, you know, for what he did. And primarily the biggest thing that is important to me, and this is not going to be a real surprise, you know, he stuck to his principles.
Yes, he did.
You know, he said, these are my principles, and he stuck to them no matter what. And sometimes it got him into trouble. You know, he stuck to those principles, and I respect that a great deal.
One of the things that he said in his welcome home rally in Midland, Texas today was that he did not take a poll to determine what it was that he should do. And as I thought about that, is right after he said that, I thought to myself, for him, that's true. He did not do what the popular thing was at the time. He didn't do what the corporate media was saying, oh, he ought to do. He said, this is what I believe is right for the country. That has not been true of some presidents.
Correct. And I think that that's an honorable way to be a president of the United States.
Yep. Principles are a funny thing.
Damn hard to live by. Hard to live by.
They are. They truly are. because as you well know, having been closely associated with the legal profession, hard cases make bad law. My uncle was an attorney, and I can recall him saying that often. And it's true. Hard cases do make bad law. The same thing is true of presidents, that when you get into tough situations, the only thing you have to rely on is what are your principles and what is politically possible at the time. And to President Bush's credit, he said, my principles will guide my decisions. Other presidents have said, not so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll find out whether Barack Obama has any principles whatsoever, and frankly, I don't believe he does, but... At least none of the principles that I can support. And that's the other half of what I've been reading, you know, is this idea. And some of them from, you know, respected people on the right that argue that we have to, I don't want to say give him a chance, but that's what they're asking for, is, you know, let's see what he does. Let's ignore what he's been saying he's going to do for the last 2 years. Let's ignore what the people that he's putting into positions to work with him have done for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's ignore all the things that he's done and said up to today, and let's give him a chance going forward. Now, there are a few people that have said, no, I'm one of them.
And as am I.
Frankly, I'm not willing to concede an inch on things that are important to me, what I think are important to conservatives, to my family, to our economy. No! Some of the things he wants to do are bad, stupid, dumb, ridiculous, not going to work, you know, nightmares.
Exactly.
Thanks. No. I'm not going to wait and see if it actually turns out that way. There's enough experience that suggests that some of the things he wants to do economically, we've proven, don't work.
Exactly. I mean, one only has to look at history. There has been no successful government that has relied on what is essentially socialism that has prospered. You cannot, in fact, take from those that have, that provide jobs, that provide excess capital that is invested in other successful ventures. You cannot take from them, give to those that do not have, and expect that you will have a positive outcome. There is no history, none whatsoever, that supports that hypothesis.
And yet we're going to try it anyways.
Well, apparently we are. I am hopeful, but not certain, that we will find what? Intestinal fortitude amongst our congressional delegations that
our
will.
Our chattering political.
Yes, yes, those two. That will say, wait a second, we've gone down that road before. It didn't work. How about we try something different?
How about trying something that worked?
Yeah.
You know?
Like
so
capitalism.
Capitalism.
Yeah.
I've kind of suggested that I do a little bit of Twitter, and I don't know if everybody knows what Twitter is, but it's like, I'm not even going to try to explain it. In any case, I found somebody that had made some comments and followed some of the comments that they had made, and he said something that really kind of gets to this. He said, if people borrowing too much got us into this mess, explain to me how government borrowing too much is going to save us.
And I absolutely and positively agree with that.
Now, I want to hat tip to violenceworker.com, his blog. The gentleman is a former Air Force worker, works in the defense industry up in Washington. Interesting blog, violenceworker.com. But I, it was one of those things that just, you know, yeah, duh. If government spending, too much government spending, which is, people have been complaining about that for the last 8 years,
yep,
was a bad thing, then, you know, why are we going to triple government spending and think that that's a good thing?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, one of the things that worries me the most in terms of the economy is that when our now President Barack Obama says we can look forward to trillion-dollar deficits for the next few years, I shudder. I say, wait a minute. You have not only obligated me and my children and my grandchildren
You have obligated my great-grandchildren to a debt that it is problematical that we can pay off.
I look at what he wants to do, and I'm just amazed at the idea. If he's gonna, okay, he's gonna put all this money into infrastructure, into the economy. That's going to do things. Let me relate this to something that the left has really complained about for the last 6 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you call that nation building?
Yeah. In reverse, yeah.
I mean, if we're going to, you know, they complain about the idea that we go into Iraq and spend all this money on Iraq to try and build up the country, and that's a bad thing, waste of money. Of course, they usually say that we should be spending it here, so now we're going to, but we're really not going to spend it doing anything that actually is going to work. And worse, we're going to spend it on stuff that we don't need. Okay. I'm done. You know what? We're going to have 4 years to have lots of fun with Barack Obama and his policies. We
yep.
are going to suffer as a country and as a people because of it. I understand that. But Joe Biden is going to give us plenty of comic relief. So, you know, we can go forward and know that Johnny, you know, the late night show hosts will have plenty of material for their things if they can actually get away with saying something.
Yes.
But in the meantime, there are other things that we have to pay attention to. Kind of suggested that we were going to actually get into the economy a little bit. I just want to note that the stock market closed down a little bit today, finishing under 8,000.
Oh, boy.
Actually blowing through support at around 8,100 that we had set earlier. The next mark down is around 7,500. If we blow through 7,500, most of the people that I read say there is no bottom after that, that there is no support. There are no necessary support levels beyond that. So we're going to have some interesting things to see as far as the economy is concerned. Oil closed below $34 a barrel. What's going on with gas prices around you? We're actually up to almost $2 here.
We're at two something. I don't get gas, I get diesel because all of my rigs are diesel. And we're at like about 273 for diesel, something like that.
Did you go down quite a bit and have come back up?
We went down, but it hasn't really started back up. But remember, we're really rural here, so it may not have shown up yet.
We're up about 30 cents from where it was about 8 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and oil prices have actually been going down.
Mm-hmm.
Supplies are going up, oil prices are going down, but the prices have been going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an interesting thing, kind of wondering what was going on with that. It's something to pay attention to. We'll see. The economy is going to, well, it's going to be a rather interesting couple of months here as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I do want to talk a little bit about Senator John Cornyn apparently has put the bollocks upon Hillary Clinton.
Yeah,
yay,
I read that.
Senator Cornyn. Glad to hear it. Frankly, I don't think it's actually going to last very long. I think he's just this is a tweaking that the Republicans are going to tell him to shut up, sit down, and behave himself.
Yeah.
But they're going to let it go on for a little while. I don't think Hillary's going to be withdrawn. I don't think Barama's
okay. Yeah.
I don't think he's going to let it hang out there. I think Reid's going to make sure that things move along, regardless of what Cornyn has done. But I do like the fact that he has tweaked them a little bit. And I did note, I did not realize, they made a little bit about news about it earlier on today. I read about Jimmy Carter snubbing the Clintons before the inauguration.
I saw that on Twitter.
And I kind of, I like most other people, went, I didn't know there was a problem between them. But apparently, a pretty big one.
Apparently.
So, apparently, a pretty good sized one. So it's going to be rather interesting.
Yes,
it is. I do want to suggest that Israel has unilaterally ceased fire, Hamas thereby declaring victory.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. This is what I have to say. There are truly stupid people in the world.
Yes.
And generally speaking, my opinion is they are not a people. In other words, I don't necessarily believe that a people are stupid. So, despite many examples to the contrary, I don't believe that Muslims are stupid. Or terrorists. But at the same token, are they idiots? The Palestinian people are just, you know, genetically morons? Because I don't understand it. Okay, so, did Israel, in your opinion, I'm asking you, Bill, Israel get enough out of this to declare some kind of win? I won't call it victory, because this isn't over by any stretch of the imagination. But would you call it a win?
Actually, yes, I would. And the reason that I would is because I think that they have restored their credibility as to the defense of Israel. And that was, frankly, in doubt after the whole Lebanon thing. I think that they have shown the Middle East, particularly Syria, Iran, the Gaza Strip, that you mess with them at your own peril. I mean, they've lost, what, less than a half a dozen people? They have killed 1,200 Palestinians, the vast majority of which were
stupid people.
Hamas.
Stupid people.
Fighters and their leadership.
Stupid people.
Yes. Absolutely stupid people. And I thought it was telling that apparently one of the Hamas people said, we had no clue that Israel would react the way it did. And I thought,
stupid people.
Yes. Absolute morons.
Hamas walks into a field full of bee hives,
yes,
with honey on it,
yeah,
and starts kicking the beehives.
Yep.
And then wants to know, well, why are they stinging me?
Yes.
Duh. Stupid, yep, people.
Yes, they are.
Stupid people.
So,
okay?
So I think Israel made a point. I think it's also interesting that Israel has declared the ceasefire, and said it will last as long as we are not attacked and we are not bombarded with rockets. And it is also interesting to me that they haven't pulled their people out of Gaza. So they're prepared to continue until Hamas learns the lesson.
I don't. They're stupid people. I don't think they're going to learn the lesson, because all the people that might have actually learned the lesson are dead.
Yeah.
Now you got a whole lot of other stupid people that said, "See, I'm still alive, so it wasn't that bad."
Yeah.
You know, Israel didn't do a lot of damage to us. I'm still alive. The five guys ahead of me are dead, but let's see what I can do. Okay. I don't expect that. I don't expect, because Hamas is stupid, I expect a rocket. Let's see. Today is Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
There was no rockets, as far as I know, yesterday or today.
I heard that there was a barrage of like 7 rockets today.
I was going to give them till Thursday morning.
Oh, were you really? Okay.
Okay. I'm a stupid people, because obviously stupid people can't even wait 24 hours.
Yeah, I know. You're just an optimist, Tracy. That's all.
We talked about my predictions last February and how I did with them at around the end of the year, and I suggested that foreclosures were going to be around 2.5 million, and I said, it was about 2.1. Well, the numbers are about 2.3 million.
Oh, boy.
Bankruptcies are accelerating.
Yes.
They are up. The number looks like it's going to be somewhere around 30 to 35% over last year. Based on my personal experience, I can tell you that that number is low. That I think when they finally get the numbers for the last quarter, the last calendar quarter of 2008, I think the number is going to be much closer to 45 or 50. And accelerating there. Based on the work that I'm seeing coming across my desk, I'm seeing a lot more people in the $80,000 to $120,000 a year range, really getting hammered pretty hard.
Wow.
And frankly, I'm amazed at the amount of taxes that some people are paying in some of these areas that I'm doing work in. Here in Wisconsin, we have a 10% income tax. The sales tax is around 8.75, 8.75, somewhere around that area. And property taxes are pretty high. So we have a pretty high, tax level here. I think we're in the top 10. I'm seeing some tax rates with other people that, frankly, would be just driving me crazy. And, of course, we're going to have more taxes being levied.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I can't even imagine states that are not going to be raising their rates. I'm going to suggest, I wonder what California and New York, is anybody at 15% state on a state level basis at this point? Are you guys at 15%?
No.
New York plus New York City is probably pretty close to 15%.
I would expect that, although I don't know that as a fact. I would suspect that New Jersey is probably up there also.
Okay. I do want to spend a few minutes. We don't have a whole lot of time left.
Okay.
I should actually pay attention to that. Oh, we got 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I do want to spend a little bit about talking about the Hudson River.
The Hudson River?
The Hudson River.
Oh, my goodness.
The Hudson River was cold.
You went swimming or what?
But it was not ice covered.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
And landing a plane on water.
Oh, yeah.
I have, I have been a private pilot in the past. I have worked as an air traffic controller in the military. I have seen planes come down in some pretty interesting configurations.
Mm-hmm.
And I have watched the video of that plane landing in the Hudson River. And I have got to say that that man, that pilot, has got cojones the size of New Jersey. Because I don't think anyone on the planet could have done a better job.
I agree.
And I want to say thank you for
Absolutely.
Your service.
Yep.
Outstanding job.
Yep.
And,
I'm,
you know, I'm not one to be prone to this, but that's about as close to a miracle as I'm willing to concede. Putting a plane down in the river in January and everybody walked away.
Isn't that amazing?
Just phenomenal.
Yep.
To the crew of that plane, to the relief the rescue workers, to the boat captains that rushed out. I mean, I watched the video 3 minutes. That plane was in the water 3 minutes when the first boat hit it.
Yep.
That's absolutely. It took 3 minutes to get from the shore to that boat. Meant they were actually moving as that plane was landing in the water.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just amazing. And I watched it probably 15 or 20 times, and I'm a big fan of watching plane crashes. I spent hours watching videos of plane crashes on YouTube. That's about the only thing that I've ever paid a lot of attention to it. And I just watched that and just was amazed by it. There are some people walking around in this country that are perfectly ordinary citizens that do perfectly extraordinary things.
And you know, that's really the strength of this country is that people with no thought of self-aggrandizement, with no thought that, oh gosh, if I do something really good, I'm going to get on TV. They just quietly do their jobs in the best possible manner. And in this particular instance, save 154 lives. That's truly amazing.
And this goes back, right back, to the very, very first thing we started with tonight. The transfer of power from one man to the next, from one party to the next, from one administration to the next, is so routine.
Yep.
That it is, in fact, extraordinary that we could, because frankly, I didn't expect anything less than what has happened.
Yep.
I expected George Bush and his administration to do everything in their power to make the transition as smoothly as possible, for Barack Obama and his administration to take over, that I didn't expect anything other than that smooth transition to occur.
Exactly.
I didn't expect anything other than that inauguration going off today, for all practical purposes, without a hitch.
Yep.
And it's one of those things that absolutely drove me crazy. It drives many people crazy, the idea that some president is going to do whatever he can not to relinquish power. You know, I believe that once they are in power, I really think getting into that Oval Office, if it didn't exist beforehand,
mm-hmm.
I think it humbles them just a little.
Oh,
maybe
I think
not.
So.
Maybe not enough to actually make a big difference over 8 years. But I think if they walk in to that office and all by themselves and sit down at that desk, if they don't go, oh, shit.
Yeah.
They're not human.
That's right. It is encouraging to me that when you look at all of the past presidents that I'm aware of, that you're aware of, when you look at how that office ages them over whatever period of time that they are in there, whether that's 4 years or 8 years, and that they can still do and they can still function and our government still functions, that is, for me, an encouraging thing. I mean, look at George Bush. He came in with dark hair, relatively unlined face for a guy who's lived in the Southwest for as many years as he has, and then look at him today. That man has aged, and he has aged because of the responsibility of holding that office ages a person. The same thing will happen with Barack Obama, whether he is in there for 4 years or 8 years. And the thing that I take encouragement from is that, for the most part, they perform the functions of that office. We may not agree with their policies, we may not agree with their principles, but they perform the functions of that office. And that's what I take encouragement from.
I agree. I don't believe that the president sits down and hears all the secrets and it changes them.
Yes.
I do believe that they sit down and they hear all the secrets and it changes what they're going to do or how they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fundamental nature of the person is there, which worries me. At the same token, you know, we will see. That's what I have to say as far as the next 4 years are concerned. I do believe that, like, I agree with you. I mean, Barack Obama is going to get really old,
yep,
looking over the next 4 to 8 years. And he is not going to be able to do what he wanted to do because the necessity of the position that he now holds, I don't think he was ready for. I don't think anybody is actually ready for that position till they're into it.
That's true. Yep.
But be that as it may, we'll see.
Yep.
I was happy to see that nothing significantly bad happened today.
Yes.
Some of the left idiots were, in fact, idiots.
Yes, they were.
Apparently the rest of the world has continued to decide that slaughter, mayhem, and otherwise stupid activities will continue, despite Barack Obama's elevation.
Yes.
Like anybody with half a brain can thought anything different.
Right.
Well, we got 30 seconds, and I'm going to give you 10 seconds to say what you have to say.
The only thing I have to say is to give a shout-out to all of my peeps at Conservative Talk. They always look forward to that. And back to you, Tracy.
Barack Obama, president. You're my president. I'm going to be watching, and you're going to hear from me.
Amen.
Good night, Bill.
Night, Tracy.
We're off. Good,
okay.
Perfect timing.
Excellent. Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye.